Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. Hey, our podcast on the draft's prospects and the future. I'm Pat Caputo. You can hear me on 97.1 The Ticket. And I'm joined here by Evan. He's the webmaster, and he's the guy that's in charge of the internet. And him and I have known each other for a long time. And we've sat in press boxes. We've watched the Lions lose a lot of games, man. And we've, we know each other pretty well. And Evan, we're going to hit the lotteries today. You know, first of all, I don't know how you feel about it. You brought this up to me. But about the NBA draft lottery, has been around since 1985. It's basically been around all your life, and I wasn't even aware of how long it had been, which is really, really bad. You know, when you think about, like, where I'm coming from and you knowing me. The NHL draft lottery, we'll get into that. The Pistons are picking fifth. Mm-hmm. The Red Wings are picking eighth. We're going to talk about both positions. People are wondering, oh, I know who Chet Holmgren is, but what about after that? You know, or Paolo Banchero, or, you know, Jabari Smith. Well, you know, it's a little bit different.
And yeah, you can hockey, forget about those guys.
Yeah. In the hockey draft, there isn't like a Connor McDavid or somebody that Alexis Lafreniere and all these names that are going to go first. And the Pistons and the Red Wings are picking eighth.
Yeah.
You know, so how is that all going to work out eventually? We'll start with the Pistons. You know what? At number five, you should get a really good player. Trae Young was the number five pick.
Yeah.
You go down through history, there's been a lot of top number five picks. And you should get a player that at minimum is going to play for you and play for you well. And you know, the thought process to me on this is I see four players that I feel are strongly the four top players. You know, Holmgren, Banchero, Smith, and Jaden Ivey from Purdue.
Okay.
You know, those are the four guys, and the Pistons are picking fifth. So where does that all, you know, put everything into perspective for what's happening for this? And I've been thinking about it. You know, the player that I like for the Pistons there is not a player that everybody likes for the Pistons there. It's a player that's picked to go way down. It goes against pretty much everything I've been saying on this damn podcast about spreading the floor and shooting and what you need. And maybe it's just because I do watch the Pistons pretty much every game and kind of addicted to the NBA. And it might be like I've just seen it too much that I'm starting to put like pieces on the floor together with this team instead of looking at it and saying, well, why wouldn't they package that pick with Jabari Smith and – you know,
you mean Jeremy Grant?
With Jeremy Grant. And, you know, make a deal.
Oh, so you're saying try to get up to five, whether, or one through four, like you're saying, whether that's what? Who are the teams? We got the Orlando Magic. I don't know if they would trade out of one.
No. I'd trade, get more draft picks and pick up a player.
Oh, so you're saying even fall back. I like that. Okay. So you're saying, if you can't get one of your top four, that would be the move that you would like to see.
I would like to see them make a deal Take Portland. That's the team that I'm thinking about.
That's the team that we heard all year long was very interested in Jeremy Grant.
Right. It makes sense because Lillard's 30, 31 years old now.
He's getting restless.
Last year, at the end of the year, I mean, they beat the Pistons when they came in, but, you know, they had a skeleton crew. But, yeah, they're a team that needs a player or two. And when everybody comes back from injury, they'll be better, and Grant would fit in perfect with them. They've got the 7th pick. You know, what's the difference between the 7th and the 5th? You know, I mean, is there somebody that, you know, you think would be like a generational talent or somebody there? And the player that I like for the Pistons, just looking at him, watching him game after game after game, is Jalen Durant from Memphis.
Okay. Jaren Durant.
Yeah. Jaren Durant.
Yeah, so what was he? He was the number one recruit in the entire nation going into his freshman year. And then, I mean, listen, what happened with Memphis, nobody saw coming. It seemed like everything seemed to fall apart. But there at the end of the year, I mean, he was playing as well as anybody in the country.
Well, the reason I say that is because you're right. That was a completely messed up situation.
I mean, it's hard to like overcome that, but yet they still did.
The thing with Amani Bates and
a lot of distractions.
Anthony Hardaway went off on the media, and it was
actually kind of funny.
It was actually kind of funny. And but by the end of the year, they were playing okay.
Sure, and in the tournament, they were dangerous, and that's mostly to be with him. And I think you're right because a lot of the talk is with the Pistons, and if you watch the Pistons, is a pick-and-roll partner for Mr. Cade Cunningham, right? Because matter what, this team is built around him.
And look, he's not going to – I don't think he'll ever be a stretch big.
No.
Never. I don't think he even took a three-pointer last year. Certainly, and I watched Memphis play a lot, especially when Bates was on the team. After that, not so much until it got to the tournament, you know, the conference tournament, the postseason tournament. But the thing I love about him, he's an explosive, run-the-floor athlete. He didn't block that many shots, but he's got shot-blocking potential. And, you know, he is going to be relentless. And when I look at the Pistons, their three-point shooting was terrible last year. And their three-point perimeter defense was terrible. But at the end of the year, the development of the players that they had that were younger, they're going to get better at that. What I didn't like about that team last year, even after they got Marvin Bagley Jr., was the dunk-a-thons and some of those games where, you know, somebody's putting 140 on them or, you know, some of the embarrassments. One of the games against Memphis, Oklahoma City with his awful team, you know, leads them big comeback. You know, their defense, you know, inside. And they need a guy like that. I know it sounds stupid. This guy's a traditional big. If this was, 1985, he'd go in the top three. But it's not 1985. And I think he's better than Wiseman. You know, he was taken early in the draft, a similar MO to this kid.
Very similar, except, I mean, he did play the whole year, Jalen Durant. And, I mean, they list him at 6'11", 250. And that's a frame that can hold more weight, which is great for the NBA, and get even more tone. And you're right that as long as you got a big that can run the floor, and we got to be honest with Marvin Bagley, too. I mean, he was a nice player coming out of Duke. But he's really been hampered by injuries as of late. So is that a guy that you want to invest? I don't know what a guy like him goes for, $15 million a year now. And to get another young guy who I think would mesh very well with Cade, I do think it's intriguing. Do you like the prospect of Keegan Murray at all with the Pistons? I mean, his game is intriguing because, what is he, 6'8", but he can step out. But at the same time, he has no problem taking it into the rack.
He's great. He was great at Iowa. I mean, not good. I mean, it took him a while.
Sure.
He's a little older. I mean, you're talking about with Durant, the youngest player in the draft.
Well, and that's very positive, too. And
the youngest player. Murray has played for a couple years.
Right.
And the question I would have on him, and he if there's an outlier, somebody that goes in that top four, it might be another guy, but if there's somebody that bumps Jaden Ivey out of there or somebody else, I know some teams aren't exactly as enamored with Holmgren as maybe people think because he's so skinny. Basketball people I've talked to really don't think he's going to be that good in the NBA.
Right.
Which I would take him if I were the Pistons and he drops to five. Any of those guys I would, actually.
Yeah, a lot of talk has been about Shaedon Sharpe, the kid from Kentucky that didn't really play.
Right, that's kind of this outlier. Well, he didn't play.
And he's the one. Yeah, he hasn't played since the Peach Jam, I believe, last year in Atlanta. That he's the one, Pat. He's the one that is going to be very, very intriguing. This is the kid that was supposed to be the number one kid in the nation coming into college this year, reclassified, couldn't play. It's a wild story, right? But he's one that could make somebody like Jaden Ivey slip to five.
Well, the thing that's, you know, kind of bothers him about that with Sharp. You know, here's a kid. He didn't play in the G League either. There was a thought he was going to play there. You know, he's played at three different high schools. You know, he's from Canada. I don't know if people even realize that. He's from Canada originally.
Man, I do realize.
And you know, he's sitting there, you're looking at him, and honestly, you know, like when the Pistons were drafting Killian Hayes, I found a couple of games where they were in German that I watched video of. I haven't seen anything of Sharp against actual competition. You know, I've seen him in, you know, some video highlights of AAU games where it's like dunkathon type of things or those, you know, the tournament you mentioned, the Peachtree. I haven't seen him where anybody's playing real defense.
Yeah, he's played in the FIBA under 16, but, I mean, even that's very hard to
judge.
I'm going to try to
– I haven't seen that, though. I'll have to look at that.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, even then at 15, 16 years old, I mean, that's still so far away from what you're going to do at the NBA. And like you said, he went to HB Beal in London, Ontario. So I'm sure he was a big London Knights fan. You like that?
There you go. Yeah.
Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air, Kansas. I believe that's where Jaden Akins went.
Right.
And then Dream City Christian in Glendale, Arizona. I think if you look up highlights, you can see on YouTube, you can see that. A game that he played with Dream City Christian, a couple of those. But you're right, Pat. Those are showcases.
Did you ever see, you know, Jalen Green in high school, his videos?
Phenomenal.
I mean,
majority of these guys are phenomenal in high
Cade,
school.
Or the Ball Brothers or Cade Cunningham or some of the others. I mean, you watch them in a high school game, you know, it's not even – now there's exceptions, obviously, if somebody's playing it. You know, one of the programs.
Sure,
it's like, a prep school.
You know. Zion Williamson's highlights from high school are some of the most impressive things you'll ever see.
Right.
But he's dunking on people my size.
Right. So it's very different. And what bugs me about it is in a collegiate game, 40 minutes, people watch a game in the tournament and somebody doesn't play well, and then they don't think that player is good. And then, you know, we end up with what I call paralysis by analysis, where you just keep picking a player apart. This dude, what is he doing? He's practicing against chairs, you know, with the, you know, NBA scouts watching him. He hasn't played against anybody.
Yeah.
Cade Cunningham, you know, a couple people last year when he didn't do well in the tournament, especially when his team basically froze him out down the stretch of his, you know, the game that they lost. They're like, oh, this guy's really not that good.
Yeah,
and
until
I'm
you
like,
see how good the Big 12 actually is.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it was his
pretty
team
sure the
just
national title came out of the Big 12 that year, and
well, they did the last couple years.
Yeah, Baylor and Kansas.
Yeah,
and,
it's been best conference of basketball, which we've discussed. So
Oklahoma. Now, but, what do you think about the actual like lottery itself, though? The actual lottery, the fact that. The worst team necessarily does not get the first. I know you said something before we even started that you're not a fan of the lottery.
No, I hate the lotteries now.
Why is that? Just because?
I hate them.
You think you just hate the chance of it?
Well, it doesn't stop anybody from tanking.
No, well, that's for sure.
No, it doesn't. Certainly in the NBA. I mean, at the end of the year, you know, watching the last couple weeks of, you know, say the Pistons season. I mean, it's like the Pistons, the one game put basically their G League team on the floor. And that's the day they hit all the threes.
When Carson Edwards comes out.
Carson Edwards, you know.
Unbelievable stuff. You're right. Okay, so from that point of view, because you're right. When you asked me what I thought about it, I said, Pat, I don't know anything different. That's just what I've been used to in my 38 years of existence. It's always been the lottery.
They're OKC, honestly. You look at their lineup at the end of the year. They didn't play anybody.
No, nobody. And that's also a team. I mean, I heard Troy Weaver this morning on 97.1 The Ticket with Stoney and Jansen about how they got Josh Giddey sixth overall. But now look at what they've got. They've got, what, 17 first-round picks between now and 2025 or something ridiculous like that.
And they got
2-12 this year.
Right.
And then, like I said, they got Josh Giddey at six, who's a very, very nice player for them.
Well, that's the thing
about Scotty Barnes was, what, four, and he's the rookie of the year. So right. You can get great value where the Pistons are.
Well, Trae Young was a fifth pick.
Yeah, and, I mean, traded for Luka Doncic. And some people are saying that's a horrible trade, but if you ask me, it worked out for both.
Both of them.
Atlanta's been in the playoffs the last couple of times. What Trey's doing in New York and all of that, it's more than the Hawks could have ever dreamed of. And obviously, Luka and the Mavs, what they're doing. Yeah. But they built it the right way, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. You know, and just to get back to, I want to get back to a point. And I don't know, I've been all over the place on this.
No, it's fun. It's the draft.
It's a draft. But they need inside help. They need inside defense. I thought last year, at the end of the year, I thought Killian Hayes showed that he's an NBA player.
He did. Absolutely.
He did. I mean, he showed grit. He showed gut. He's athletic. He made a lot of plays. Now, shooting isn't great, but at some point it'll get better. But he actually made some jump shots last year, if not threes. Sadiq Bey, by the end of the year, was up to 35%. He was below 30% for a huge chunk of the season. He had a 51-point game. He's a really good player.
Yep.
Cade Cunningham, like all the rookies, if you look, rookies all, you know, struggled 32%, 30%. He's going to shoot better than that from three-point range in the NBA. He's got all the, you know, he's got the
more
technique.
More confidence, more everything going, right. More experience.
Right. He's even last year, he put those shots up. A lot of them almost went down. You can see where he's going to do that. Isaiah Livers was an unusual development for them late in the year. That was something that I was not looking at, and I know some people would say, Isaiah Livers, wow, but the guy from Michigan. At the end of the year, he hit threes consistently,
yeah,
and he plays kick-ass defense.
He's a big body, too.
Yeah.
He really is. He's an undersized, he's a big guard, but an undersized forward, but he uses it well. What did you think, I guess, the last question I have when we're just talking about the Pistons and the progression that they made, was Isaiah Stewart. In my opinion, I felt like he necessarily didn't get better. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's just what he is.
Isaiah Stewart's a different type of player than the role that he's been asked to play. He was speaking of number one players in the country. He was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to Washington. I watched a lot of his college games. And what people don't realize about him is that he can actually shoot.
Yeah.
But his three-point percentage was way down last year. But I remember he hit a couple three-pointers from the top, and people were like, whoa. He does have the ability, Beef Stew, to shoot jump shots and to play a forward role, kind of the big, strong, power forward role in a certain way where, you know, not necessarily, you know, 40 minutes a game, mm-hmm. but 25, maybe the starter, and gives a lot of flexibility there. He's not somebody who can guard 6'11 stretch bigs.
Yeah, he's not the guy that we want guarding Joel Embiid.
And he's not going to be pulling down, 14 rebounds a game.
No, right? And he might some games, and he's a nice hustle player. You're right about that. So I'm glad I asked
that
question.
So his role was stretched last year, when he was playing against second-team players the year before when they had Plumlee. He was able to do it. But when he was playing against the really good guys that have that size, he can't compete. He's not a five.
Right. Well, so then, to wrap it up, that works out perfectly with what you want for the Pistons to get in the NBA draft. And it makes a lot of sense after we talked through what the pieces they have are right now. Because let's be honest, you're going to add two, maybe three guys through the draft. That's not how you're building your team this year to necessarily win. But those would be nice pieces going forward.
Keegan Murray, if he's there, would be somebody you'd consider. Jaden Ivey, obviously. And but the rest of the players, like Ty Washington and some of these other players, I don't see them as being like top player. I'm sure there'll be a Scotty Barnes or like last year, Franz Wagner, you know, played remarkably well.
Crazy.
And that team's going to be good because they got him and Suggs, and they're going to get, you know, I think they're probably going to draft Jabari Smith.
They got Fultz coming back off the ACL that, I mean, after the trade from Philly, he actually showed that he could play basketball in the NBA, so they could be a fun team to watch.
You know, but there's, you know, the Pistons. That's what I would do for the Pistons. I would look at that particular player. I think he's undervalued, and I think there's a lot of talk, hey, you know, get Joe Harris or somebody who can shoot, you know. Maybe do that, but and if you package some kind of deal and you move down a little bit and pick up an extra pick or a player, I mean, you'd pick up a player anyway. They would have you take one of their players that's got a big contract, an Eric Bledsoe or somebody like that,
sure,
but that they want to get rid of. But that's how I would do it. So that's how I feel about the Pistons. Now, you know, we go on to the Red Wings.
Yeah, we should be like the LCA people that have, when there's two games in one day, we're switching the floor. Yeah. Taking the floor off, we're putting the ice on. And the Red Wings have the 8th overall pick. They also don't have a coach. That's my first question about the NHL draft. Just being a hockey fan that is from the outside looking in. Does a new coach have any impact on that player, or is that strictly still based on Steve Yzerman and the plan that he has going forward?
Well, you know, it's going to be Steve Yzerman who makes that decision. Chris Draper, they've been scouting, and that's where it's going to be. But Steve Yzerman is, I think he weighs heavily on people who advise him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still have Håkan Andersson out in, you know, in Europe, and he's a key factor to what they do. He's been the scout that's, you know, instrumental in a lot of what they're doing. And Chris Draper's done a pretty good job, I think, in his role. I think it's not mentioned enough. He's the one who's been heading the scout. But he's got a pretty good feel for the draft, you know, Steve Yzerman. I mean, obviously. I mean, Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider, you know, were outside the top three, and they could easily – they played at the level of first overall pick so far.
Can I guess what you'll suggest that the Red Wings need in this draft? Just based on what I've learned from you, Pat, I'm going to guess you think that they need a center in this year's draft.
Well, I'm not alone in that. I mean, the entire world knows that.
I know it. Think about that for a moment.
Yeah, there's not really any question about that. And, you know, I'm not the only person that feels this way. I was somewhat surprised, though, I saw somebody actually had the same thought process that I had on it. But there's a kid named Marco Kasper.
Okay. I like the name.
Marco, he's a good name. It's easy.
Swedish? German? What is he?
Austrian.
Austrian, okay.
But, you know, if you look at the MO of what the Red Wings do, he's projected to go, like, later in the draft. But he's rising, all right?
How old?
Yeah, youngest player, and that's the other. That's a lot of things. For one thing, he just turned 18.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So he is younger than most of the players that'll be in the draft, which Steve Yzerman has mentioned before. You know about the, you know, when somebody's age is, because, you know, 6 months is a lot at 18.
Oh yeah.
Not so much later, but it's a lot at 18. This kid's been playing in the SHL, the big league. The same team, you know, a championship caliber team. I think it's pronounced Rogel, R-O-G-E-L-E with a little, you know, accent on it.
Squiggle on it, okay.
Yeah, so
you would know better than I do with that
one. Yeah, well, it's where Moritz Seider played.
Okay.
And they're a great team. And he's held his own. He's playing on their team, Austrian. It's like Moritz Seider in a way. Instead of Germany, it's Austria, and he was playing in the world championships.
Is that what is going on currently?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So he's, you know, in Austria, you know, and there have been some players. Marco Rossi was from there a couple years ago. Must be a big name in Austria, Marco. And he was a, you know, pick that was taken fairly early in the draft, and has actually come on after a slow start, but... You know, this is a kid that is played against men. He's not playing against kids. He's playing against men, and he's held his own. And the thing about him is he's not a great finisher. He doesn't score goals. like a lot.
Okay.
All right. But he can skate and he's bigger. He's like 6'1", you know, good 6'1", 185, 190 pounds, and very, very skilled. And in every way, and he does, you know, he scored some. But, you know, the other players that would kind of fit into what they're doing are more scorers, but they're not necessarily players who've played against men. They're junior hockey players.
Okay.
And they don't have the skating ability, or there's an ability, a possibility where they lack size. Matthew Savoy is somebody from, he plays for Winnipeg in the Western Hockey League. That's the league that Sebastian Cosa plays in. And he is like 5'9", 175 pounds, and, you know, jitterbug, really good. But he's playing against boys, and he doesn't have the size. There's another kid. His name is Geeky. He is a junior hockey player. Yeah, G-E-E-K-I-E.
I like that.
Yeah, Geeky. Get that guy. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he's a big guy, like 6'4", 6'3", and great hands, you know, nice, uses his body well, does everything well except skate. The guy really struggles at skating. And so, you know, I don't see the Red Wings taking somebody who's a smaller center. I don't see the Red Wings taking somebody who is a bigger, you know, scoring center. And both those guys, Savoy and Geeky, could be great players. Seriously, they're pretty talented. They're going to go early. But I, the guy that I would look at is Casper. I mean, you know, the whole MO, he's in Europe, played against men, you know, from a country where, you know, it's not a hockey country, but playing in the, you know, against the men in the league, like Sider, played with Sider at Rogel. So, you know, you're talking about somebody that to me is, you know, seems to fit. And the athletic guy, I don't know what their national guy, he sees the same thing I see on it. You know, because he put out and said, well, he's ranked like 17th or whatever. Yeah. And I know it's like, you know, putting a, you know, puzzle together and, you know, coming to some conclusion. But this kid's pretty good. You know, he's very good. So I, when I look at him, I can see, you know, a real possibility. He would go. That's a name that I would definitely have on the list. And he, I think you'll see him skyrocket. Yeah, he's gone up on all those lists from, you know, up higher from the 30s to like 17, or I've seen him as high as 11 on, you know, some of the different picks.
Now, there's one thing that I'm hanging on when you describe him, and that was the mentioning of not being a great goal scorer. And I was once told what makes a great goal scorer in the NHL is the person that puts the puck on the net the most. So somebody said something like, go look at what how many shots a game Brett Hull got compared to others.
Right.
So the more they, or maybe it was Brendan Shanahan, I forget who they mentioned, but it was literally a numbers game. Is that what it is, or am I just, were they being fluffy with their quote?
Well, yeah, I think you got to look at a league somebody's playing in, too.
Okay.
All right.
Is the ice bigger where he's playing?
Yeah, he's playing where Sider played.
Okay, so
where Frölunda's at, and he's playing on the best team. All right, and
amazing,
he gets regular minutes, and he does. He has scored. I think he had like 10 points in 40 games or something. I, you know, just look it up and double check, but it's about that.
Sure. Okay. So,
and he's playing in the big league at 17.
And that's like crazy, right? That would be like,
well, it's ahead of everybody's pace.
Right.
All right, and if he were playing in the Western League or the Ontario Hockey League, or especially the Quebec League, which still the numbers are up, sometimes the amount of points that somebody puts up doesn't mean as much as when somebody's playing under structured game against men already.
Yeah.
In a league that's AHL level.
Okay.
You know, big difference, I think. If you were playing in those other leagues, and, you know, he's played in the World Juniors, and he's played in the, you know, now the World Championships, but he is somebody that's in those games, their guy. You know, I mean, there's, you know, I mean, the world, I watched a game the other day, man. I was watching the Italian team, and I'm like, you mean the Italian team? And they were getting their ass kicked by Switzerland. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm saying, why do I have this game on? I was doing a show. It's like on Saturday. It was on the NHL Network. I'm like, man, you know, I'm a geeked out here, man, but I'm not watching this Italian team because there's nobody that's going to play in the league. So, you know, he's playing with those type of guys in international competition. He's not playing with, you know, Owen Power and, you know, or players like that, or Matty Beniers from the USA team.
Yeah.
But there's other players. You know, I mean, I don't think there's any question Shane Wright's going to go first overall.
You said Shane Wright?
Yeah.
Okay. Where is he from?
He plays in the OHL from Kingston.
Okay. He's not one of the 17 Michigan players?
No, it's not that many. There's the kid from the U.S. developmental program, Cooley's going to go in the top five.
Okay.
You know, he's not going to be there for the Red Wings. If he is, I would take him.
Is there a current player that Casper reminds you of?
You know, I would say that if you were to look at past Red Wings players, you know.
Kind of putting you on the spot, I know. But.
No. I think that's a fair question. Past Red Wings, he's not like Fedorov or something like that where he's a total jet.
Well,
but he's a
good
skater.
I still think Fedorov was kind of a freak, right?
He's a better skater, not a better player, a better skater than Henrik Zetterberg. Henrik Zetterberg never was like a fast skater, and that's why he lasted until 210th in the draft or whatever.
Which is crazy to think
about.
Yeah,
but he was so strong on the puck and so skilled. I mean, you know. I would say that a player that he would remind me of that's played for the Red Wings, I'm thinking of centers that they've had. I don't know. You know, what would be a comparable? That's a tough question. I don't know if I can answer that right off the top of my head. Red Wings centers, you know, from the past that he would remind me. I know. You know, you think of a Swede right away who would be. He doesn't remind me of any of their Swedish forwards.
What about, like, even just
because he plays in Sweden?
But Dylan Larkin now, does he have more potential than
he's
him?
Not as, you know, Dylan Larkin.
He's fast.
Really fast. And, yes. You know, it's hard. You know, Dylan Larkin's become a 30-goal scorer and the captain of the team.
Yeah. Right.
All right, this guy.
I'm just saying, like, him coming from Michigan and is this kid, do you think he's more developed now than Dylan Larkin was? I'm just trying to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, at the same age?
Yeah.
Yes. And Dylan Larkin was pretty developed. He played for the U.S. Developmental program, and then he went to Michigan. But, yes, I would say he's more developed. He's stronger than Dylan Larkin was at that age. You know, he's I'm trying to – you can make ridiculous comparisons when you look at a guy, you know, and you say, well, what type of player is he, a two-way player? You know, he reminds me of a little bit is a kid that was at Michigan, a local kid, Josh Norris.
Okay.
Little, you know, he had a 30-goal season this year. He's from Oxford. He played for Ottawa last year. He was traded. He was, I think, taken 19th overall by San Jose. I think that would be kind of the comparable if he hits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm looking up quotes from other NHL experts.
On what, Marco Casper?
Yeah. Nick Richard, Dauber Prospects. Are you familiar with Dauber Prospects? He's a big center who controls the puck well down low and finishes well and tight. However, I think he probably settles into a long-time middle six role as opposed to being a top point producer. So what is a middle six role?
He's in the top six.
Okay.
You know, he's on his second line. What he is to me, ideal second line center.
Okay, so
that's what he projects to me.
This is Sam Costino from Sportsnet. Slick and speedy, can make things happen when nothing presents itself. Is extremely agile. That's exactly what you were describing when talking about him.
He can skate. I mean, really skate.
But
not like Larkin, where he's just a. You know, a tornado-type skater, you know.
Oh, see, this is kind of cool, too. So Scott Wheeler from The Athletic, he doesn't shy away from trying to beat out or wait guys, and he's got a really low panic threshold, which that seems great. I've never really heard of any athlete consider a panic threshold because you see it all the time.
It's a big hockey term because it's the play is so quick, and especially as they advance up, it's what they do with those little moves to move the puck and get it down the ice. This kid had a, I think his Corsi was really good, or I read something about it. It was Corsi.
It's a big stat I've heard.
Yeah, it is. It's about puck possession.
Oh, I know. You told me about it. I love it because when I brought it out, people were like,
"Oh, they don't like it."
It's crazy. You're right though. How many different teams this kid has played for? The Rogel BK J
that team
under 18.
He's played for the big club.
Oh yeah. So which one is that? Is that the Austria? We got an under 20. Oh, the big club. It's literally called the BK, the big club.
Yeah, well, it's just they're in the SHL.
SHL.
So they have like those in
46 games. Yeah.
In Sweden, they have like 16 and under and 18 and under each team. Like the Red Wings would have like a junior team.
Is 17 penalty minutes and 46 games a lot for a center?
It's hard to tell when in that league. It's very different when it comes down to penalty minutes. You see some good checking, and the ice surface is a lot bigger. So it's always this big adjustment. The term I've often heard about, like European ice, is they play like a soccer-style game. You know how a soccer pitch is so big and they kick the ball down and everything? Yeah. By the way, man, that was a classic tweet you had today. I couldn't agree with you more talking to those soccer people this weekend. And the ball goes down. It was classic. But, you know, in the NHL, it's shorter passes.
Okay. The reason I ask is because
forecheck is a lot more difficult in North America.
So he's not as shy from contact. That's basically what I see.
No. He's got size. He's got size. He's got room to put on, and he can skate. Now, the question is, he doesn't have, like, fancy goal-scoring stats.
Mm-hmm.
He's played in a structured game for a top team in Europe at 17, and he can skate.
And so
when I look at Savoy and I see all this fancy stuff in the Western League, which is a good league, we've talked about it before, I like him better. And Geeky, or however you pronounce his name, just looking at him, he doesn't skate that well. And that's, if you read those evaluations, they say the same thing. It's not like I just observe something there.
Right.
And I've been watching those guys and, the full games,
Nobody watches more than you.
Well, no, I mean, I got the CHL
you
package.
You and Will Birchfield will sit there and watch these
games.
Oh,
he can sit there. He would love it. So.
Oh, I know you guys do.
So that would be my guy, for them, actually. And, I think that that's putting two and two together, but it seems like that would be ideal.
Well,
anyway.
I'm excited to wait and see what happens now. I mean, both drafts are coming up soon. So we'll probably get to talk about it a few more times, I would guess. And I'm excited, Pat. I really am. Because, like I said, I didn't know Casper before, but now I'm rooting for him.
And the Red Wings should have had a better pick. But, this is somebody that, I think will be there. And if he's not, then, there might be somebody else that falls there. But
and also, we trust Steve Yzerman here. So if that's the case, then you trust him, whether it's pick 1, 2, 3, 4, or 8.
Yeah, and if I come up with I'm going to be I'm going to be racking my brain for former Red Wing centers that this guy reminds me of. But I don't think he's a guy that's going to, like you're getting a top line center, all right? You're getting a Connor McDavid or something.
Right.
You're getting is somebody that can play second line center, all right? Somebody who I think will score. Now, is it going to be a point a game or not? But I would figure if he matures and becomes a good player, he'd be like a 55, 60 point scorer. A few more assists than goals, but a 20 goal scorer who plays both ends of the ice, and that's exactly what they need. I think he would, because he's younger, may develop a little quicker. They would still keep him over there. He'd probably play for Rogel next year.
Oh, they did the same with Sider, right?
Right. Well, that was because of the pandemic. Okay. They played him first in West Michigan and then over there.
Okay.
And Sider was exceptional. But there are some similarities there. One's from Germany, one's from Austria. They both played in the same – they played together for a year. So, for a while. 10 games, I think, or something that he played last year. But anyway – that was our podcast. Hey, don't forget to download us on the Google Play Store, iTunes Store,
also
Spotify.
Spotify now, yep.
Spotify and, of course, Odyssey.com. It's called Bustin' Balls. Always enjoy doing this. And until next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.